Today, we are continuing looking at the book of Romans.
It's called Romans because the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Rome. And there was a group of Christians meeting there. And he said he was sharing these things so that they could be established. So even though they were there, it seems that they needed to be established. And so he started right with the gospel, right with the good news of how is a person saved? How do they know they're saved? And what does that mean? Just a very basic outline. What we have covered so far is chapters 1 through 3, where Paul proves that not only am I a sinner, but the whole world is a sinner and accountable to God. And so we would say the big subject here in chapters 1 through 3 is sin. Now, somewhere in the middle of 3, we're changing to the next subject in the book. And the next subject is all the way from chapters 3, right about where we are today, through 11. He has the cure for sin. I mean, it's one thing to go to a doctor and have the doctor say, well, you're dying. Let's talk about that at your next visit. That would not be a very happy visit to the doctor. And so Paul brings both of these things together. He says, look, you have a problem. You're dying. And it's worse than physical death. It's eternal death. And so he says, but, you know, God has the answer. And the answer is salvation. And of course, salvation, the word simply means saved, right? It's the word saved. And we'd somehow make a noun by adding like 20 more letters in the middle of it. I don't know why we do that. But what is it to be saved from sin? And that's what we're beginning today. Once you are saved, you're actually a new creature. God doesn't just take away your sins. He actually puts something new inside of you. It's a new kind of, you know, he came into the world. You and I were born with physical life. Now, physical life, you can lose physical life. So God offers you a new kind of life. He offers us eternal life. And that eternal life is in his Son. That's what we'll see today. And so, well, how do you live physical life? Well, when the baby's born, you stick the bottle in its mouth. All right? And then there's a few other things you do until they're teenagers. But when you get eternal life then, there's also things, and God even says, well, we're like babies, and babies need milk, and he says the Bible is milk. And so, well, that's part of it. So, 12, really, through the end of the book, is about service. There's different ways, service, sanctification. It's just how to live this new life, all right? So this is such a great book because it's almost like what would you want if you wanted a basic book to understand what Christianity is? Well, here it is, and we're in it today. What we're doing today, we understand from Romans 1 through 3 that God actually created people perfectly. He actually put in my head a law. And I'm sure you've had this happen to you. You're about to do something and you get and you're thinking, that's not the right thing to do. And that's your conscience. Where did that come from? How do people all over the world, even people that never were raised with the Bible, have that voice inside their head? Well, it's a part of the non-material creation. God created man. And he created man with a conscience, with a law inside of them. So as God created the world, everything was perfect. There was no big division between God and men. God, it actually says that he walked with Adam in the garden. So if we were going to show the relationship of God and men, before the world changed and before Romans 1 through 3, before sin came in the world, you have to say it's like a track where God and man walk together, right? However, our chapters in Romans and coming up tell us that something came into the world. And that something is sin.
The whole picture of the relationship between God and man has changed. This was not by God's choice. This was by Adam's choice. God put Adam in a perfect environment and his wife Eve. He gave them perfect rules. I mean, one rule, basically, a couple rules, but one that don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that was a test, wasn't it? It was a test to see if he would obey God or that he would believe another voice. Adam actually chose. Later in the book, as he's explaining salvation, I'm going to change the picture now. How do you like that picture? Where should I put people? Well, let's put man over here. There's man walking away from God. And the Bible says then again in Romans, a little later in the book, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. You can find that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And so the picture has changed. Adam by choice chose the consequences of sin that God had promised over a relationship with God. Now afterwards, he regretted it. All right, you're just like little kids, you know. You see them making a bad choice, and then afterwards you see that they regret it. And so the whole human race is like a little kid. But nevertheless, God said on the day you eat of it, and then right after he sinned, God removed Adam from the garden. And so Adam's sin, and I'm going to just put sin down here again, separated Adam from God. And of course, what we learned in the book of Romans, Romans 3:23, that this is a universal problem. Sin is a universal problem. No one is born into the world except Jesus Christ without sin. So everyone, you have something worse than the coronavirus when you enter into the world, and that's sin. And one day it will kill you. It's affected your body in such a way that if this body isn't replaced with a new body, one day this body will die. It's just the way God designed life after the picture changed from a perfect relationship with guaranteed life now to separation from God. And then God is very clear then, and we'll actually see the verse later in Romans 6:23, that the wages or the earnings, what I get from sin is death. And so there's a course now that if God doesn't do something, what is going to happen to this man? Well, what's going to happen to this man is God is holy and sin has to be paid. And so unless God steps in, this man, we call him every man. This man's name is every man, and this man will have to pay for his own sin, because sin has to be paid. But the verse that said, the wages of sin is death, also says, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And so, and this is what we will see in our chapter today, that God has a gift. And the name of that gift is eternal what? Life. And what kind of gift is it? You're all so excited about it. It is eternal life. What kind of life is it, everyone? Eternal life. Yes, and I'll just put E-life here. E for eternal life. Do you see a problem in my picture there? I see a problem. And the problem is,
God loves me, and he wants to bring any person who will come to himself. Just like Adam, by a choice, chose to say no to God, God now is going to give the whole world a choice that they may take this gift by choice. So heaven will be a choice you make. Hell will be a choice you make. But how can he do that? How can God do it? It's not fair. What if you take the gift and I don't take the gift? I'm punished and you're not. Why? It's not very fair. Well, hopefully we'll have an answer for that, right? Hopefully we'll have an answer, but I hope you see that in the picture. How can God save anyone? It wouldn't be fair. Maybe he likes people with brown eyes. Well, that covers most of us here. That covers me. And brown-eyed people get to go to heaven. But what about the blue-eyed people? Well, they're a bunch of complainers. It's not fair. So how does he make it fair? And in our, what we're going to look today, we're going to say, and that's a good question, exactly. How in the world can he do this if he's still going to be fair and he still promises to punish sin? How could he let anyone in to his eternal holy heaven, or back to a relationship? So let's start reading from Romans chapter 3. So you can see where we are. Let me draw up here. Romans chapter 3, and I've got verses 21 through the end of the chapter. I love to read the Bible, so let's just read it together. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Manifested means shown. The righteousness of God has been manifested. Being witnessed, that means reported ahead of time by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified. Justified simply means to be said to be right. Said to be right. Being said to be right as a gift by his grace through the redemption. Redemption is payment. Through the payment which is in Christ Jesus. Whom God publicly, or displayed publicly, as a propitiation. There's a hard word. It just means satisfaction. Alright? God's satisfied with something. And he's satisfied. That's what propitiation is. He's satisfied in Jesus, his son. In his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. This meaning up here, the cross, the blood of Jesus. Jesus giving his blood, that's what this is, was to demonstrate or show the righteousness of God. Now, for those of you who are followers, you're saying, I think I see the answer to the question up here. And if you don't, well, we're going to try to, we'll find the answer. But this was to demonstrate his righteousness because in the forbearance of God, you know what forbearance is? It means God putting up with people. How long do you put up with your children before you, what do you do? What do you do to children today? Do you send them to their room? Do you smack them? I don't know, but whatever you do, God is the most forbearing parent. And so in the putting up with people of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. That means Adam's sin. Not just your sins, but Adam's sin. All those people you read about, David in the Old Testament, and David knew he was saved. Abraham in the Old Testament, before Jesus was born. Abraham knew 100% that he was saved. And I think Adam, even after he sinned, he knew he was saved. He named his wife. What did Adam name his wife? Mrs. Adam? No, this is not America. He didn't name his wife after himself. That's pretty nervy, naming your wife after yourself. So sometime you talk to Mrs. Craig about that. That's pretty nervy.
He named his wife Eve, which means life. And he understood that she would be the mother of all living and the mother of the Savior eventually through her offspring. So Adam knew he was saved. But that's all the people before Jesus went to the cross. And God passed over, didn't punish Adam's sin, didn't punish David's sin. He did not punish Abraham's sin. Well, why? Abraham deserved punishment. David deserved punishment. What did David do? Oh my goodness. David committed adultery. And to cover up his adultery, here's a tip. How to cover up your adultery. You kill the husband. So he killed one of the generals in his army to cover up his adultery. And I mean, these things are terrible. How did a man like that, who committed adultery and murder, know that his sins were forgiven? Well, we'll see. So that he would be the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? And so, you know, boasting is bragging, right? You know, people who talk big. All right. Where is talking big? When it comes to God's salvation, where is talking big? Where is boasting? Well, it's excluded. That means there's no place. If you really have this gift, you have nothing to brag about in yourself. By what kind of law of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain, that means that we keep saying this, we stand on this, we're firm in this, we maintain that a man, I suppose that's women too, that's men and women, that men and women are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. That means without the works, without the Ten Commandments. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since indeed God will justify the circumcised. Now this is sometimes you call Jewish people Jewish people. Sometimes God calls them the circumcision. All right? And so that's just another name for Jewish people. And the uncircumcised, that's another name for non-Jewish people. Through faith is one. So God is one. Do we then nullify? That means make nothing. Make it a zero. Do we then bring to nothing the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. All right. Have you figured out our answer yet? How then, if God has to punish sin, and all have sinned, how can God give anyone a gift, especially a gift called eternal life? I had that question when I was first introduced to this. I was 20 years old, and the first verse I ever read and was read to me was Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. And he said, Craig, do you know you're a sinner? And for the first time in my life, I realized that my problem was not my mother, it wasn't my drill sergeant in the army, it was me, and it was my problem was sin. And he says, look at the verse again. And we can look at this verse again right here. He says, Craig, how many have sinned? And I read it again, and it said, for all have sinned. Is that big enough to see? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He said, Craig, and there I am, just like you are staring at this page right now. I'm staring at the page in his Bible, and he says, Craig, you have sinned, but who does it say has sinned? I said, well, it says all. He says, Craig, do you know that everyone is born disqualified from God's eternal holy heaven? Everyone is born a sinner. You know, that to me, that was ping, lights on. I used to talk to people and say, you can't prove there's a God. I would argue with people. I would be annoying. I still am annoying, but hopefully more a better annoyance.
But I would argue, you can't prove there's a God. Look at the world, there's wars. And look how cruel people are to one another. If there is a holy God who's sovereign, he's in control, how can the world be the way it is? How can people be like they are? Right there. It's that man is born in rebellion against a good and holy God. The world is out of control because of sin. And he showed me another passage too, which is bang, hit the nail on the head. And I realized there could be a God. That was like lights on for me to think, yes, there could be a good God. There could be a holy God. And the problem could be in the rebellion of his creatures. I went, oh. So I thought that was enough. I mean, I would learn enough lessons for the day. But then the man talking to me proceeded to say, well then, how could God save anyone if everyone's disqualified? By this time, and we've talked I don't know how long, and he said, God, I said, I don't know, you're the theologian, you tell me. The guy was really smart in the Bible. And he said, well, God would have to make it a gift. I said, that's nuts. I said, if what you're telling me, and here's what he told me, that the gift is eternal life, God wants to give it to Craig, and I'm going, why would God give something, no strings attached, that's eternal, and it's life? I said, that's nuts, that would never be. And I said, you'll have to show me from the Bible. Well, he didn't show me this verse, but he could have. He could have gone just like, well, let's look down the page. Two lines, Craig. And he showed me another verse, but what does that say? Being justified as a what? Gift. And I said, here's what I told the guy. I mean, to any of you here, you would go, well, that settles it. The Bible says it. And God says he's going to make eternal life a gift. But some of you, nobody is as hard-headed and stubborn as me. And I said, that's just one verse, right? That's just one verse. You can make the Bible say anything you want because you're really good. You're clever with the Bible. I said, if it's true, it has to be somewhere else, maybe a paragraph or something. Well, he took me to another chapter in Romans, and I would love to take anyone to that chapter. We don't have time this morning to do it. We will get to it's chapter 5. And we read through this chapter, starting in the middle of the chapter, and the word gift comes up. And it's comparing what Adam did in one act of disobedience, bringing death. And then he says what Christ did in one act of obedience on the cross, paying for life. And it's a gift. And so we're going to this passage. In my mind, I'm counting in Romans chapter 5. Gift, 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 gift. 5 or 6 times. I mean, if we went through the whole book of Romans, I don't know how many times we would find the word gift. This was amazing to me because the church that I grew up with said you had to be good to go to heaven. And this man is saying God saves bad people. And you know what? I had to decide. Am I going to side with my church against God, or am I going to side with God as he's shown me in his word? Well, I say, well, I'm not a theologian, but I can count to 5. And in Romans chapter 5, there it is, gift, 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 gift. And I said, well, it's true. It's true. And I hope you can come to that conclusion too, that God has made it a gift. But we still haven't solved our problem, have we? Because man has a problem. I'm separated from God, not like at creation, because Adam chose to disobey God. So all of his children inherit the sin problem. All of his children are born separated from God. And unless God does something to change this picture, everyone has to pay for their own sin. But God is saying here, he has a gift. He's very clear about this gift. And now we have to say, how could he do that?
And so in our picture here, let's understand a little bit about the gift first. God's plan, this is of course a little bold headline. That's not the Bible, that's me. All right, I put a headline there. God's plan is to give you his righteousness. And maybe as we read through this, you saw all the times righteousness appeared. Righteousness is being right. We just make a noun out of it, righteousness. So, look at this. But now apart from the law, that means without like the Ten Commandments, righteousness has been manifested. But get this. What righteousness? It's modified, right? That's why you should just take all the grammar classes you can. Because this is just not, but now apart from the law, righteousness has been manifested. I have a pointer here. Righteousness has been manifested. It's the righteousness of who? Whose righteousness has been shown? The righteousness of God. All right, let me ask you a question. Is it good to be good? Because being right and good are the same thing. It's good to be good. It's good to be right or righteous because it keeps you out of jail. But does it prepare you for heaven? No. So personally, it's good to be as right as you can be. I mean, you're not as bad as the king of Israel. You didn't murder someone. Maybe committed adultery, but I don't know anyone here who's killed the person. His husband, spouse, because of adultery. But here he's saying God wants to give you not your own righteousness. If you could keep the Ten Commandments and you could stop stealing from this point on in your life, stop lying from this point on in your life, stop using God's name as a swear word, or for no reason for the rest of your life, if you could stop doing that, you would develop a rightness. But whose rightness or righteousness would it be? Well, good job, Craig. It would be mine, wouldn't it? Because I've worked hard to get it. Nothing wrong with that. But if I think I'm going to heaven because I've developed a right living, I am deceived. Because what about all my wrong living? It's like having a credit card. You say, from this point in life, I looked at my credit. We took a little few days off. I just looked at my credit card statement. I went, you know what I said? I'm not going to worry about it. I am just from this point on not going to use my credit card. And life will be good, right? No, I'll keep getting ring, ring, ring. Hello, this is the Sam's credit card company and you owe us, whatever it was, I'm not telling you. And they'll keep calling me. Not only will they keep calling me, what will those terrible people do? They'll start adding interest to it. And so even though from this point on, I accumulate no more debt, I still have to pay for all that debt over there that I've already accumulated, all the debt that I already have. And so I could say, you know, debt and sin are a lot alike. I could say from this point on, I am never going to be mean to Nancy if I could do it. And I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to sin. I'm never going to do that. I'm going to do that. Would that get me the righteousness of God? No, it would get me the righteousness of Craig. So I hope you try to be good. That's your righteousness. Your righteousness is not the righteousness of God. But in case we're misreading this, I'm going through the whole passage now, and we're going to highlight in blue everything he says about righteousness. It's now without the Ten Commandments, God's righteousness has been shown. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. For those of us who don't quite get that, that means the Old Testament, the part of the Bible that's written before the coming of Jesus, that's the law and the prophets. They all talked about a coming righteous king. And his name of the Savior would be Jehovah Tsidkenu. I love that. There's a song. And it means Jehovah my righteousness. Imagine that. God would be my right. And so the almost every book in the Bible up to the cross has looking ahead. So now what does it say again? Even whose righteousness again? Even the righteousness of God. And so he wants to give us the righteousness of God. And then he says being justified as a gift through the redemptions in Christ Jesus. And I'm going, oh, look. The cross, it says, this was to demonstrate his righteousness. So what does God want to give you? He doesn't want to give you your own righteousness. Keep it if you have it. But he wants to give you his righteousness, his righteousness, his righteousness. I'll go on. Maybe there's more here. I thought I highlighted them. Kind of. This word just means right. It's the same word. And this word means to be declared righteous or right. So righteousness, just, and justifier and justified, they're all the same word in the Greek. One's a noun, one's a verb, one's an adjective. And a man is made right by faith apart from the works of the law. So I just want to stop right there. And hopefully you have seen that the gift that God gives you is his righteousness, not yours. Your righteousness is not working. But you have to accept that. And I urge you. It's good to be good, but stop thinking that that goodness is preparing you for a perfect heaven. And be willing to accept that God wants to give you as a gift. It's not just eternal life. I should put, he wants to give you his righteousness. To me, that's as amazing as saying God wants to give you eternal life. My righteousness can fail. All right, now, the next thing we have here is, this is good. There's only one problem, there's one God, and there is one plan, and this is what he's saying. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How does the righteousness of God come? What's God's plan? God's plan is through faith. What is faith? Faith is taking someone at their word. If I say, I'm going to take you to McDonald's and buy you chicken McNuggets, and you show up for your chicken McNuggets, that means you trusted me, right? You took me at my word. And so he's saying, the way this man gets this gift, is he has to now trust that God will give it to him. Or we could put believe up there, right? Trust or believe. The Bible also talks about I before E, except after C, or receive this gift. So here's God. He says, I have a gift for you. It's the gift of my own righteousness. It's also the gift of eternal life. It can never be taken away. It's eternal. And I'm offering you this gift. If someone offers you a gift, what do you have to do? You have to take that gift. So two kids showed up at our door last night. They were very ghoulish looking figures. They were all dressed up. No idea who these children were. And they said, trick or treat! I'm going, oh no, we have like zero candy. What am I going to do? Give these kids. And they've got their hands up. So I said, I'll give them spicy noodles. Don't laugh! I was dead serious. Didn't I go in the closet and I got
two ramen, spicy noodles, you know, triple spicy noodles. And I gave it to one of the boys, and he said, like, thank you, and put it in his bag. I gave it to him. The other boy thought about it for a minute, and he went right back to the closet, and he put it back. I go, is the problem with me or the boy? I said, I think it's the gift. I don't think the gift was that good, you know? So my Nancy thought, and she says, we have got chocolate bars that for s'mores. Oh, candy at last. Guess what both boys did then? Bang, candy, boom, in the bag. Thank you. They took the gift and it was theirs, right? Boy number two took the noodles. No, thank you, gave it back. Never really took the noodles. To get a gift, you have to take the gift. You have to actually see the gift is worth taking, right? Is the righteousness of God worth taking? Well, of course it's worth taking. Is eternal life a gift worth taking? Well, of course it's worth taking. It's a gift. To get a gift, when someone offers you a gift, you have to take the gift. All right? And so there's something on your part. God has really done everything, hasn't he, here? And he say, it's through trust. You're taking it through trust. Have you ever seen someone take a gift that you can't see? All right? I'm going to take a gift right now that's a free gift that will allow me to live. I didn't pay for it, you didn't pay for it, and it's invisible. You can't see it. Ready? Oh, isn't that good? I'll take it again. Did you see what I took? Well, no, you didn't see it. What was it that I took? It's free. God provided it. But if I take it, I live. Physical life only. Air. All right? Do you believe in air? Well, I don't know. You're all trusting it to keep you alive. All right? Another gift here. You can't see this, but I'm going to use it right now. Watch. One, two, three. Whoa. Couldn't see it, but it took me. What was that I couldn't see? And yet I really believe no scientist has ever seen it. No scientist has ever really proven it. They kind of measure it, but they've never seen it. But every scientist believes it's gravity, right? Gravity could be your friend. I don't know. So, we believe in a lot of things we haven't seen. And so this gift is through trusting someone. He is real. He is in heaven. One day you will see him, whether you believe him or not. But God has chosen to set Jesus aside so you cannot see him right now. And he's given you a choice to say, I've shown this. Remember, he's publicly demonstrated this. I've shown it one time in history. I'm taking him away from you being able to see him. And I want you to trust now what I have written here. I want you to trust in Jesus Christ. And you've never seen him. People have seen him. They've wrote books about Jesus Christ, both in the Bible and outside of the Bible. He really was a person. He really lived. And the Bible says he was really God's son. And if you will take this man to be your righteousness, God will give you the gift of the righteousness of God. Now, I want to bring one more thing up. We're not going to get through this whole thing. God has one plan for all people because all people have sinned. So there's one plan, there's one problem, and there's only one God. God intends, it says, or is God the God of the Jews only? No, he's the God of everyone. You could be a Gentile, you could be a Jew, you could be anything, and God is still your God. And Jesus Christ could be your Savior. But my problem up here is how can he do this? And the answer is in here as well. And the answer, of course, is that it's through the redemption. I'm just going to say redeem here because it's a lot easier to spell. It is in the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. how did God provide this gift? What does the word redeem mean? The word redeem means to be paid. If I give you a gift, it's a paid for gift. It's free to you, but what did it cost me? Depends on the gift. God is offering you the gift of eternal life. God is offering you His righteousness. And what did it cost to God? Because it's a real gift, so it cost God something. The Bible says you were not redeemed by perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood as of a lamb. It is the life or the blood of Jesus that He actually carried my sin. So here's what would happen to me. What? Death because of my sin. What did Jesus do? Jesus accepted the job of paying. Not just for Adam's sin, not Abraham's and David's sins, but for my sin and the sin of the world. So that the gift is actually paid for all men. And you know what this person can do? This person is free now because the gift is paid for in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God's righteousness, the gift of eternal life. Is God fair now? He's fair because He paid for this man's sins. What if he has brown eyes? Well, it doesn't matter. He's paid for the sins of people with brown eyes. What if he has blue eyes? He's paid for the sins of people with blue eyes. What if the guy is a murderer? Well, do you know that sin of that murder? And can you think of Christians or believers in the Bible who actually had committed that sin? David committed that sin. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book, it's right in front of you. He wrote 13 books. And God forgave him the sin of murder. He didn't just murder anyone. He murdered Christians. God can forgive you the sin of murder. What about adultery? 1 Corinthians 5 actually talks about a man who was caught in the sin of adultery. And he was committing adultery with his father's wife. And you know what? All of these sins, some look really bad. But how many sins did Adam commit to bring all this into the world? Was he a murderer and adulterer? No, he wasn't. He just, one little sin, right? And what kind of sin was that? It's like a vegetable sin. It's like you put a plate of broccoli in front of a kid and say, eat your broccoli. And he says, no, sorry, the whole world's going to die. Just the opposite though. God put broccoli in front of Adam and said, don't eat it. And he ate it. Wouldn't that be funny if we get to heaven and find out that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit was broccoli. Like, who would ever be tempted by broccoli? It doesn't say it was an apple. But how many sins did it take to sink the whole human race? One sin. And that's, how many sins does it take to keep you from God's eternal holy heaven? Only one unpaid sin. If I am trying to work to heaven by my own righteousness, I have failed. If I could pay by my good works every sin but one, would I get to heaven? No. I don't even know the sins I've done. Do you know all the sins you've done? No. But how many sins did Jesus pay for? Every sin. So God has a gift for every man. He actually paid, there's your word redeem, for the gift. So now God is fair. In our verse it said God is just. That means God is fair and the justifier. It means He's fair and He's able to say you're right with God. Would you like to be right with God? God has a gift for you. And so go home and read from Romans 3:23 on, and or what we read. This is so exciting. If you have questions,
I would love to open these Bible places, passages, and try to help you understand them so you could trust Jesus for yourself, because that's what you have to do. I can't make you trust. I can't make you a Christian. You have to see it and say, I believe it's as real as gravity. And I'm going to trust Jesus. And when you do, God gives you the gift of eternal life. Will you, if you never have, you only have to receive him once because the gift is eternal, it's forever. If you never have, will you today trust God to give him his righteousness when you receive his son? You can talk to him while we pray and come to him. Praying doesn't save, but coming to the Lord Jesus saves. So let's pray right now. Father, we are so thankful that you explain these things so clearly in your word. There's no mistaking this. Just casual reading, we see what Jesus did. We see what our problem is, and we see what a gift you have for us. I pray that no one today would pass by the Lord Jesus. I pray that everyone would 100% understand this. And Father, we just pray for those who already have the gift of eternal life, that we would just overflow with thankfulness to the Lord Jesus. And so we commit our week to you. Bless us. Keep us in your word. Keep us close to the Savior who shed his blood for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.